God's Word this morning from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Please pray with me. Let's hear God's Word. Father in heaven, how thankful we are that all we have and all we are is a gift from your hand. And that you know our days, that you are sovereign over time, and that you have us in the place you desire. So, Father, would you help us? Help us to think about our days aright and receive your goodness and grace in the work of Jesus. Father, we pray as we open this Word, your Word, which is constantly true for our lives and consistently true for our needs. Would you speak to us now in the power of the Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Some of you will know this song. Maybe you heard it in the 50s. I'd be love to see how many people can tell me the author of the song from the 50s. It was recorded anew in the 60s by the Byrds. Some of y'all are saying, well, that's way too long ago. Maybe you got it in Forrest Gump. That was the last time I remember it in a movie. But it is a song, Turn, that comes from the Bible. And this morning, we're going to capture the thoughts of God on our time. So would you please hear the Word of God? For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. The Word of God for us. It was a young grandson spending time with his grandfather, and they began to have a conversation. And they were talking about time and eternity in childlike ways. When all of a sudden that question from the grandson turned towards the grandfather, the grandson said, Pop, were you on the ark with Noah? Pop said to him, no, don't be silly. I wasn't on the ark with Noah. And with all sincerity, the grandson looked back at his Pop and said, then why aren't you wet? You know, time is one of those things that that is hard to account for when you're young. Yesterday, to a young kid, it just is something that was past, and times and thousands of years ago seemed to have no meaning to them. Whereas tomorrow can seem like an eternity, like it will never come. When you get a little age and maybe even a little gray hair, time runs faster and faster, doesn't it? Yesterday is a memory, and today runs on faster than you can imagine. It's a challenge to get everything done that you want to do. In those productive years, there is more to do than there is time to do it. And then again, there are times when we get to those passive years and we wonder how we could spend the times of our days. But time is something that we all deal with. And according to the author of Ecclesiastes, God has made time beautiful because God has placed eternity in our hearts. And so we need, as it were, to study God's view on time so that we can have a good view on our time. How do you think about your days? How do you think about time? Is time a friend or is time a foe? Well, the truth is, for many of us, it can go either way, can it? If you have an injury or if you are sick, it seems like time can be a foe. Every minute you spend in the bed is a difficulty where time presses in on you, maybe even boredom and pain press in on you, and it's a challenge just to make it through the day. But aren't there those times where you are having those great moments? Maybe it's a family celebration, a birthday, a holiday, an opportunity to be together, and the enjoyment of being with those you love just fills your heart in such a way that you're hoping just to hold on to it a little bit longer. Time. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, the same number of days in a year. Our days and length of our life are guarded and grounded in God's good purposes, but we don't know what's going to happen over the length of our days. And so our hope is in the God who has given us time. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about time. As a matter of fact, when I did a search this week, I found references to time in almost every book in the Bible. And I thought about how we tend as Christians to think about time. Oftentimes we'll talk about the value of time, that time is fleeting. If it is wasted, you can't regain it. I mean, it's a biblical theme. If you look at Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, we're told to make the most of the time, to redeem the time, to use our time well. Because when it's gone, it's gone. It's a resource that you can't recapture. And so there is in the Christian ethic, in the Christian mindset, a desire to make the best use of the days God has given us. You know, we might do that in a couple of ways. Many of us think of time in a way of managing. How are we going to be better managers of our time? There was a point in my life early in ministry where I was overwhelmed with the number of things that a pastor was called to do in the church, in the home, in the world. And as I was working, I went to a friend and I said, "How do you manage your time? I'm having a difficulty managing my time." And he said, "Wade, your problem's not a time problem. Your problem's a Wade problem." And he was right. You know, there's that challenge of using time in the best way. I know many time management experts, they use that age-old illustration in time management of placing the big rocks in first. The important things in your day, do those first. And then you can put other things in. And you know, you put smaller rocks in the same container. And then there's still a little time. You can put some sand in there and it'll filter down. And there's more you can do. And finally, you can add a glass of water. And there's a way to be efficient with your time. You know, there's themes like that in the Bible. You know, Moses in his only psalm, in the psalm, Psalm 90, calls us to number our days aright. We ought to desire to make good use of that which God has given us. Why? Because time is a precious commodity. Time is something that is given to us as a resource to be used to honor God, to grow in the knowledge of God, to love others, to help others well. It's part of the beauty of relationship to God and to one another. So we enjoy our days. But there's something that stands behind our responsibility for time in God's sovereignty over time. We are responsible for what God gives us. But at the same time, there's this beauty in Ecclesiastes here. This beauty of the fact that God has ordered and ordained the days of our life. God has put into effect the seasons of life. Some we like, some we don't like, but to bring us to a point a dependence upon Him in all of our days. And you get that picture here in our text. You know, we are particularly time-bound. But time is not eternal. God is eternal. Time is temporary, but God is not. Time controls us in some sense, but it never controls God. God's in charge of time. Even when I'm not in charge of my time, or when you're not in charge of your time, God's in charge. And so I want you to see this morning that really what Ecclesiastes teaches us is this. Time and eternity belong to God. Time and eternity belong to God. And that's a great hope for us. Because God is sovereign over our days, we can enjoy that. Isn't that what the author, the teacher, king here encourages us? You may be frustrated, you may be confused about the length of your days, but have joy. Because they're ordered by God. Take joy in the day that God has given. You see that down in our text. But notice here in verse 11. Notice what the author tells us. He has, that is God, has made everything beautiful in its time. And He has placed eternity in man's heart. Time and eternity. Our days captured for an eternal hope in Christ. We are called to have a compass amidst the day-to-day of the eternal in the direction that God gives. And that's the hope of the author. As he charges us in how we live our days and consider our days and work out day-to-day life. You notice in our text this theme of sovereignty. God is sovereign over all our days. But His sovereignty reminds us of several things. His sovereignty reminds us that time is finite. There's only so much of it. That time can be frustrating. That there are days when God knows what God is doing, but we don't know what God is doing, and it's a challenge. That's verses 9 through 13. And God tells us in verses 14 and 15, time is fixed. Our days are numbered for our good. Now let me show you that in the text here. Notice there in verse 1, time is finite, we might say. Time has a purpose. It's not eternal. God is eternal, but time, our days have seasons, have reasons, have purposes. Notice there in verse 1 of chapter 3, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the sun. That word there, that idea of season there is a word that it gives the idea of a fixed and set space and time. God has determined the times of our existence. This is more than the four seasons, the winter, summer, fall, spring, those seasons of our lives. This is the seasons of time and existence. There are things that are going to happen in our life and we are to embrace. Notice there in the text, in verse 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There are two appointments that every one of us has to keep. And we're not in control of those appointments, only God is, but we are born and we die in the direction and under the direction of God. Notice in this passage, there are 28 comparisons. I'll let you go back and count them, but there's 14 positives and 14 negatives. Now, what I have found is we like the positive aspects of life, right? We like the births, and we moan the deaths. We like the peace, and we hate the wars. We enjoy the love, and we despise the hatred. We scratch our head in the building up and the tearing down, but if you've watched the crosstown event of building the west side of Kyle Fields, you know the tearing down and the building up and how that works in life. But the point here, the point that the Koheleth, that Solomon is bringing forth, is that our time has purpose. Our time has season. And we're called to embrace the seasons of God's work. Those positives and those negatives that inevitably are a part of the day in, day out, need to be given to God. He's in charge of the ups and downs and the ins and outs in the seasons of our journey. And each is to be captured for His honor and glory. You know, we want good things in this life. We want life to be lived well. And so some of these things are our responsibilities. You know, the farmer knows that he is to plant and he studies what God has done in giving and he knows when to take up. There's responsibility on our part to heed the days that God has given us. But all of it is under the sovereign rule, authority, and care of God. And so here's the good news this morning. Your days are under the control and care of God Almighty. And that's what He begins to show us even as He fills that out a little bit of our God-given task. Notice that there in verse 9 through 13. There is this sense where frustration in dealing with time is actually a gift. I mean, how many of y'all think of frustration as a gift? That's what I thought. But it's actually what the author teaches us here, isn't it? God has done something. If we just had to live our days on our own, we would just go on. But God has put eternity in our hearts because He is making all things beautiful, told here in verse 11. And what happens is we run up against the finiteness of our life because of the eternity of our soul. We run up against that and we long for something more, don't we? Notice that. What is to be gained? For the worker for his toil. I have seen, verse 10, the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There's beauty in God's creation. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart. We can't just live for today. There's more than today in view in God's eternal plan. And He has put eternity in their hearts, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done. From the beginning to the end. There's frustration, isn't it? We know there must be more. We can't read the mind of God. We're told in the Bible that the revealed things are for us and our children, but the secret will belongs to God. And so there are moments that we get frustrated. What do you do with that frustration? Well, the author says, turn towards God. Rest in God. Enjoy the day He's given you, the work that He's given you, the pleasure He's given you. Eat and drink and be joyful when you're frustrated. It's not because you have focused on what is enough. It's because you need to focus on something that is more. And God is at work in our days. So time can be frustrated. And when we're frustrated with how it is going, it's time to turn towards God. It's a call to have this God-centered view of our days. Why? Because we embrace God's part in our day and we pursue our responsibilities in our day. And when we're frustrated, we turn back to the God who is in control when we're not in control. I mean, that's the heart of our greatest struggle with time, isn't it? We want to be in control. But we're not always in control. But God is. And He cares for His people. He cares for His creation. He cares for you. And here in our text, we are reminded that we need this bearing towards eternity. This compass in daily life that keeps our eyes focused towards God, even as we pursue God-given tasks. That's the heart of the author here. That we might see that our time, when it is frustrating, it is something that turns us back towards God. From beginning to end, He has control of our days. And we have nothing better than to be joyful in what He has given and to pursue it as a gift from His hand. But lastly, notice how he sums up here. If time is finite, if there are seasons in our days and things that are going to happen, appointments that must be kept, realities that are going to work its way out in all of our lives, if we're going to be joyful in the way God is at work, we need to be constantly reminded that God governs it all. Our time, verses 14 and 15, our time is fixed. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Isn't that one of the great challenges? Do you ever get frustrated with the fact that what you do doesn't endure forever? That what you do fades away and you even forget some of what you've done. Conversations had, work invested in. Things seem to be falling apart, but what God does, we're told here, endures forever. What seems new for us is not new for God. Why? Because God's not bound by time. We're bound by time. We're deteriorating under the effects of time, but God is infinite. God is beyond time. You know, we deal with the changes of life and our existence in a fallen world, and it's always a burden to live in this life. But God is unchanging. Time does not deteriorate the plan of God. No, God uses it. He's fixed it to bring about His good purposes. So that you see there that everything that has done is because God has done it there in 14. And so we ought to fear and rejoice. We ought to have the proper respect for God's sovereignty and rejoice that He is at work in our days and in our life. And so here's my charge for you this morning. As we uncover a theology, as it were, a study of God in the place and time, it's to be reminded that our days and our eternity are held in the very hands of God. Time and eternity belong to God. And when you're not in control, turn to the One who is in control. And so the text reminds us, really, there needs to be two applications to our heart that when we think about our time and eternity belonging to God, two applications for our heart. Trust intentionally. Trust Him. Be willing to wait upon the Lord. It's not something that we're particularly good at, is it? But it is a call of the text for us to be reminded that while we're not sovereign in life, God is sovereign in life, and we need at times to wait upon Him, to rest in Him, to listen, and to see today in the light of eternity. We wait upon the Lord, even as we walk with Him. When Marion and I were young parents, now we're old parents, I guess. We still have young kids, but we had a lot of them. But when we were young parents, there were times that we just wanted to have a conversation. And when you got young kids, that's one of the challenges, that kids know you love them, and so they can come to you at any time. So at one point when we were working with our young kids, we were trying to teach them to value mom and dad's time together a little bit. Give us a little time just to have a conversation. So what we would do is we would each get a glass of tea or a soft drink, and we would make sure it was one of those glasses you could see through, and we would sit down at the table and we would start a discussion, and when the kids would come up, we'd say, "You can come back and talk to us when the cup is empty. Go play in your room, it's okay." You know, now if there were blood-curdling screams, of course we attended to those, the important things. But we were just training them to give mom and dad a little time. Now, it was great for us, but it was frustrating for them. We enjoyed it, and they fretted. But we would sit there, and we would drink our cup of tea, and we would have a nice conversation. And they learned something about time in that discussion, that sometimes you got to wait. It never made any of them particularly happy to wait. What they wanted from mom and dad, they wanted at that moment. You know what? I think that's got particular application for each of us too, doesn't it? You know, there is this tendency for us to press on God our time frame over His time frame. There is this tendency in our life to believe that God must answer now or things aren't right. And that's how we tend to live. When we just live as spiritual children, we want to bear in. And sometimes God says, wait. Don't walk. Wait. You know that can be hard. It can be hard to wait on the Lord when you're in the midst of things that are difficult. Underemployment, a job that's not satisfying and you want more. Something that's hard, like a cancer or maybe even the prognosis or potentiality of life-threatening diseases. It can be hard to wait in those moments. It can be hard to wait on the next step when you know that there probably are good things out there. The next job, the next opportunity, the next relationship, the call of marriage. There are those kind of things that just we labor under. And we get frustrated with God. But God is in charge. We want our days to make sense, and so we try to govern our days, but there are times when we've got to trust. How many of y'all are good at the trust piece? You know, most of us are good at the running piece. Let's run, let's go, let's do. But some of us need to get better at the trust piece. God, I know you're at work here. I'm not sure how you're at work here, but I know you are at work in my days for my good. You know, I want you to remember this, that God is timely and His gifts are timeless. And I think we forget that at times. At least I forget that at times. Maybe the pastor's projecting, but I don't think he's projecting this morning. I think the frustrations I feel with living in the fallen world are probably those things that you feel as you live in a fallen world. Wanting days to be meaningful, wanting days to be productive. But you know, there are times when God says, slow down. I've got the seasons of your life in my hand. I've got the time of your day in my hand. And God's going to make all things beautiful for an eternity. Now, I'm not saying don't pursue God. Pursue hard after God. Just be willing to wait patiently upon God. Here's the thought here that needs to order how we look at time. We need to be efficient where we can be efficient, but we need to wait where God says, wait. Trust Him. Are you willing to wait upon the Lord in His timing? Or do you feel like you got to press it? Push it. And lead yourself. That'll be a struggle. Our hope for eternity is to wash back into our hope for today. God has given us good gifts. You know, it's true that Christ makes meaning out of our time. One of the beautiful things about time in the Bible is that in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. He came under the law to fulfill the law that we might have rights and relationship with God. And that Jesus who has come has ordered our life and our salvation in such a way that while we experience these momentary and light afflictions in this life, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, He has built up and He is making for us that which is a weight of eternal glory in His presence. And I want to remind us this morning that every day is a gift from God. And every day needs the compass of eternity with Christ governing it so you can trust Him. No, I'm not suggesting that God has to do what Pastor Wade does and take up a cup of tea and make you wait. He's not arbitrary in the way He deals with you. Maybe as we were arbitrary with our children, but He is at work in everything as a part of His plan in your life. You can trust Him. But secondly, I want you to see that because we trust Him, there is this call to intentionality. Notice here, he doesn't say, the teacher king here doesn't say, just do what you want to do. No, he says, God has ordered it all. There's a hope. God has fixed the times. He has ordered the seasons. So live them. Live them with fear for God and joy in the experience. Be intentional. You know, we can go for it under God's direction. Intentionality is something that ought to be pursued. We pursue God daily. We pursue God's mission daily. We pursue God's people daily. We pursue the people God is pursuing daily. Intentionally, we live our lives. Jack, my father-in-law, and I, we were having a conversation over lunch this week, and we were talking about a concept that I hadn't quite considered, but one, because he's a He's a little bit ahead of me, and he's past retirement, and he's thinking about not only how to live well, but how to end well. So we were talking not only about giving your life to Jesus, but how do you give your death to Jesus? You know, there's this call in Scripture to work unto the Lord, and to wait upon the Lord, and to witness for the Lord. And we need to give all that to Jesus. So I want you to give your life to Jesus. You know, some of you, that's where you need to start. You know, you've sought to be the master of your own domain. You've sought to be the master of your time and days. Maybe you need to begin with giving your life to Jesus until you see intentionally your need of Him. You're going to have frustrations. But give your life to the One who has given His life for you. The heart of the message of Scripture is that the perfect life and the gracious death and the abundant resurrection, life for God's people, comes through the life and death of Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Give your work to Jesus. Whatever God has called you to pursue, whatever field, whatever opportunity there is in your life to pursue for God, do that for His honor. Give your witness to Jesus. I'm not sending you out to beat people up with the Bible. I'm sending you out to show them the beauties of the Bible and to give them, those that you work with, to Jesus. Their salvation, their love to Jesus. But you know what? Instead of worrying about death, why don't you give your death to Jesus? Why don't you give your heart and everything that's a part of your life to Jesus in such a way, because He has ordered your days. Give it all to Him and then intentionally live for Him. Maybe it's harder said. I mean, maybe it's easier said than done. Harder to do than it is to say. But I will tell you, if you will be purposeful in your pursuits, in the moments and hours and days and weeks and years, the days of your existence, you will be pleased with Jesus. There's no hardship we face here that is not overcome by the eternity God has planned for His people. It was some years ago, many years ago as a matter of fact, a man walked into the office of Charles Schwab before he became a financial advisor, when he was the president of the Bethlehem Steel Company. And the man sat down with Schwab, and Schwab was consumed with the vast work of this enterprise, and he asked the guy for some advice on how to manage life better. The guy's name was Ivy Lee. He sat down with him. He said, "This is what I want you to do. Every night before you go to bed, think about the 6 most important things you're going to do tomorrow. Write them down. Start there, and let's see how it goes." Schwab said to him, he said, "How much do I owe you?" Shrewd was this guy. He said, "I tell you what, don't pay me now. A couple months from now, you wait and see how much that advice is to you, and you send me a check." About 6 months later, Schwab sent a check for $25,000 to Ivy Lee. It was obviously worth a lot. In that day, $25,000 was actually a sum of money. And so he learned from prioritizing. You know, in one sense, that's what the author here, the preacher King Solomon, is saying to you. Order your days aright. What's most important? Put your attention there. Not just physically, but spiritually. Would you order your days with what's most important in the love of Christ? God's given you your days. He's given you your days for a purpose. Now worship Him who has gifted you. And remember, time and eternity belong to God. And if you rest in Jesus, there is the knowledge of security of all your days. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, it's our hope. It's our hope to have meaningful existence and to pursue life in meaningful ways. But when it comes to time and eternity, would you remind us, Father, not only have you gone before us, that you have supplied all we need in Jesus. And we pray that you would apply His life and death and resurrection to our life, that we might find our hope in Christ and our joy in pursuing you day by day in all the days that you give. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.